And hidayah in English language means guidance. But the linguistic definition of the word hidayah in Arabic language means al-irshad wa-dilala. Meaning what? Al-irshad, when somebody show you a path, show you a direction to your destination. So your GPS is your hidayah, because it's showing you the path to your destination. So this dua is very unique, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focusing on this aspect of hidayah in this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. Allah said, our Lord, لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا, do not deviate us from guidance. Do not deviate our hearts from guidance. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, after you have guided us. The ulama and the scholars spoke about this dua, and they said that there are two types of guidance. نوعان من الهداية, two types of guidance. The first type of guidance is هداية إلى الصراط, when Allah shows you the path, guidance to the path. So it's helping you to find the path from first place. You're not on the path yet, but Allah is showing you where is the path to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is the way to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first type of guidance. Hidayatun ila sirat. Guidance to the path. The second type of guidance, hidayatun fi sirat. Guidance on the path. Now you know where is the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is some of us, we know where is the path, but while during our journey, we get lost in the process. Here the dua is focusing on the second type of guidance, of hidayah. Here Allah is saying, do not deviate our heart after you have guided us. Meaning that you have showed us the path, but now, please Allah, keep our hearts firm throughout the journey. This is the dua of the second type of guidance. Now, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Grant us from your mercy, your infinite mercy. Here Allah is emphasizing the idea that guidance comes from His mercy, not because of our actions. Because our actions cannot really match the power of Allah's guidance. This guidance is out of generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy. So we're Allah is emphasizing this idea that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance out of His infinite mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. And you are emphasizing one more time that Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who guides. Because if Allah wills not to guide us, we will never be guided. So again, this is the dua of guidance. Last question here. What are the signs? How can we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us? The ulama and the scholars spoke about two things. In our lifetime and after our death, there are signs that we can know that Allah has guided us. The first, during our lifetime, the ulama said that if Allah is still using you for a good cause, that's why there is a dua, Allahumma ista'milna wa la tastabdilna. Oh Allah, use us and never replace us. Oh Allah, always use us for goodness. Any type of goodness. If you are in the business of, you know, helping others, that's a good sign. If you are in the business of helping here in the masjid, that's a good sign. If you are in the business of reconciling people, that's a good sign. If you are in the business of relieving pain from the poor and the needy, that's a good sign. All of these are great signs that the scholars speak about. But more importantly, they spoke about after the lifetime of somebody. SubhanAllah, 2 hours ago, I just landed here in Dallas coming from New Jersey. And we were burying one of my students with the name of Omar Nofel. And it was very emotional. It was very emotional because Omar Nofel, he used to be somebody who's very unique. Very young, he was 17. And from day one, you will find him with a smile on his face. And his dedication I never seen in my lifetime with all the students that I've taught, hundreds of students, since I started, you know, teaching Islamic studies until now, I've never seen somebody that dedicated. To the point that we, as a leadership, we were talking about having a scholarship for him so he can go overseas, study Islam, and coming back as a future imam of the Islamic Center of Passaic County back in Jersey. And subhanAllah, you know, he met me the first day I came to New Jersey. And he told me, Sheikh, I've heard the news that you're coming to our community, and I know that you study in Al-Azhar, and I want you to teach me everything you learned. And I was surprised because, you know, this generation doesn't really ask for this. Like, you really want to learn everything that I learned throughout my journey in Al-Azhar? He said, yes. Every time I have him in my car, he has to recite to me Quran. Please, Sheikh, fix my pronunciation. I've never seen somebody like this. And subhanAllah, the age of 16, he wasn't feeling good. They took him to the hospital, and then the doctor gave them the news that he is diagnosed with leukemia. And subhanAllah, just think about it, you know, like a doctor visit can change your entire life, subhanAllah. He heard that news and he started a journey, a very painful journey of leukemia, going through these medications. Somebody who's just, you know, young, has these great ambitions and dreams. He wanted to be a historian, Islamic scholar that's focusing mainly on history. He said, I have a dream to unite the entire nation, the entire ummah. Unique qualities that this brother had. All of a sudden, he had that disease. He stayed 1 year with this cancer, and then he got cured for 8 months. Wallahi al-azim, brothers and sisters, in this 8 months, it was my last 8 months in Jersey before I moved here to Dallas. And in this 8 months, wallahi, he never missed Salat al-Fajr in Jama'ah. And not just this, we used to have halaqat after Fajr. And you know, the youth, they struggle sometimes with coming Salat al-Fajr and coming for a halaqat Qur'an after Fajr. This is not really something that's easy. And wallahi, his dedication, I've never seen. He said, Shaykh, alhamdulillah, Allah has cured me, now I want to give back. Now I want to all the youth to be guided. Let me know, tell me what to do. I told him, Omar, you need to slow down a little bit. You have to go through this course of learning first. You just make him a little bit, you know, just slow down a little bit so he can actually speed up later on. I used to tell him this all the time, slow down so you can speed up. Then, subhanAllah, you know, a few months ago, actually it wasn't too long, it was 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, leukemia hit back, cancer hit back. And this time hit back even tougher, like stronger. So he went to the hospital, and then this time he was feeling very, very ill. And I had these calls with him. I used to call him and tell him, Omar, how are you feeling? He told me, Wallahi Sheikh, it's so tough even to breathe. It's hard. It's hard to breathe. It's so hard to breathe. He said, but you know what? Bashir al-Sabireen. Allah gives glad tidings to those who are patient. And I was like, wait a second. You are talking to me about patience? I can attend hundreds of khutbahs of the topic patience. I can read tons of books about patience. But coming from someone who is battling cancer and teaching me, wallahi, teaching me about patience. You know, I was reflecting on this, and I remember when he told me, I need you to teach me what you learned in Al-Azhar, and now he's being my teacher. Now he's the one who's actually teaching me. Now he's the one who's teaching me. He said, Sheikh Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divine wisdom behind everything. And I was like, yes. Yes, Allah has divine wisdom behind everything. And in my mind was, so what is the divine wisdom behind your sickness? I was thinking about it. And then I got my answer yesterday. Brothers and sisters, I got my answer yesterday in his janazah. First, we came. It was the day before yesterday, 12 o'clock in the night. And then tremendous youth from the community. Wallahi, there were 260 people at the masjid at 12 p.m. We stayed the entire night in an i'tikaf, in a tahajjud. I've never seen this in my life for somebody's janazah. The body was there. So we stayed at the masjid the entire night, making dua for Umar Nawfal, for Allah to shower him with his mercy. Stayed the entire night. And then we had a huge line. We went and we saw his beautiful face. Every single one got to see his beautiful face. And then the next day, yesterday, on the day of janazah, wallahi, I've never seen that large janazah in my life. These numbers I've never seen in my life, with the exception of Al-Haram Al-Makki. The exception of Al-Haram Al-Makki. Even in Egypt, when I was in Egypt, I've never seen that large janazah. Thousands of people. Thousands of young people coming to his janazah, making dua for him. And then during that janazah, I was overwhelmed with so many texts from youth. And they were telling me, wallahi, it's breaking my heart and I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start following Umar Nawfal's path. And then I was like, wait a second. Umar Nawfal is leaving an impact probably way greater than if he would to live all of his lifetime. Umar Nawfal told me, find the divine wisdom behind my sickness. And I found it on the day of his janazah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using him to guide many people. Many people broke their egos. It broke their nafs. They started to thinking about what can I do, because I, in one day, I'm going to face this. He used to be hanging out with us. He used to go with us to Dunkin' Donuts, get our, you know, lattes, our coffee, and we hang out. It's part of us. And all of a sudden, a doctor visit changed all of his life, changed all of our lives. Wallahi al-azim, I found this. Like, the divine wisdom is right here, the impact that he's leaving now, not just, you know, his dreams or during his lifetime. Even after his death, he's leaving a great impact, subhanAllah. As his father was burying him, it broke all of our hearts. He was telling him, don't worry, Ya Umar, no more doctor visits, no more medications. You are going to the one who has ultimate mercy. You are now comfortable. All of us, we were on his grave, making dua for Umar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower him with his mercy. It was very, very, very emotional. It was very emotional standing on his grave, knowing that few days ago, he was teaching me, Sheikh Yusuf, I love you. It was so hard. It was so hard being in this situation. It was so hard. And then wallahi, what comfort me is hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet said about a janazah that passed by and everybody was speaking highly about this brother, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. And then when the Sahaba said, what wajabat means, the Rasul said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you spoke highly about this brother, that Jannah becomes obligatory upon him. And wallahi, I felt the same. Every single one, all scholars from, you know, across Jersey are coming, talking about his legacy, talking about the great things that he left behind. So that comforted us a lot. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Umar Nawfal ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma aghfir lahu wa arhamhu وعافه واعف عنه وأكرم نزله ووسع مدخله وجاف الأرض عن جنبيه. اللهم إن كان محسنا فزد في إحسانه وإن كان مسيئا فتجاوز عنه يا رب العالمين. اللهم أبدله دارا خيرا من داره وأهلا خيرا من أهله وجيرانا خيرا من جيرانه. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.